Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Tom's keen. It's good to see you. It's good to I've had a bit of a week, and a lot of people as well, speaking to people. I've had a really challenging, tough week, and we're going to pray soon. Just a couple of things to your attention, really. We're looking at the whole Exodus series at the moment, as far as maybe, we're talking to the elders about maybe having a break after Christmas. It's a very natural point in Exodus, at the tabernacle, but we're not sure yet. We're talking about it, so we've got to confirm. But please feed back on that, because I realize it's been a good time. The Lord's been challenging us, and we'll always be challenged to follow him. The whole series has been about following, not just being saved. And that's really, really important, isn't it? Since the AGM, I remember putting this in there. I've been so grateful for the co-laboring of Josh Kindness, since he graduated from the Bible College in 2015. I think that, Josh, you graduated. And so Josh has been effectively co-laboring alongside me here in an incredible way, a way that I basically wouldn't have, without the grace of God in providing, I believe, Josh alongside me, I wouldn't be here. So he's been brilliant. And we want to acknowledge that as a church. And so you might recall in the AGM that we talked about Josh being acknowledged as a co-pastor. And so we want a conversation about that, because what that would mean is we would present him to you, which is the way this church works. We don't just say what's happening. We'd present him to you as a membership to say, look, we want to acknowledge all the work he's done in the way he's doing it. And for him to be a co-pastor, a co-worker, like Barnabas and Paul, whatever, and for us as a congregation to affirm him, so out of the school. I think he's just been doing that for 4 or 5 years, which has been great. So please talk to us, and what we'll do is, you know, any sort of questions you've got about what that would look like, what does that mean for you, Keith, what does it mean for Joshua, don't worry, the Lord's not saying anything to Leslie and I about being anywhere different, so we just want you to know that right at the front, in case that was a question, it might not have been. So I just wanted to put that out there, so do speak to the elder team or leadership. That'd be really, really great to do that. We also need to pray. It was a great sadness this week. Many of you will have known Simon Whitley, the pastor of Rugby Elim Church. Simon was one of our early supporters in the academy when he was a mentor for their youth minister at Coventry. He used to be at Coventry when we had one of our first students, Ryan, on the course. And Simon was his mentor, so we had a lot to do with Simon and Duncan and the team there. And Simon moved to rugby a couple of years ago, and really has done a brilliant job. But for last year, he had a battle with a really aggressive form of cancer. And this week, he went to meet his Savior. And he's young. He's got two little ones. And I don't know the answer to that. So we want to pray for Lisa, who is known to many here with the toddler group and others, and the family and the Elim family there at rugby. And many of you here from an Elim background will know Simon well as well, better than me. And so we're going to pray and just ask the Lord's peace. We know this is far better, but the pain is unbearable, isn't it? So we need to just pray. And then we're going to look at God's word. I believe his word is relevant to all of us to lift us to that point of worship, to see him. We need to see him, don't we? More than ever. So shall we pray together? Would you join me in doing that? Father, thank you so much that we can come and we can grieve as well, Lord, when one part of the body hurts and we lift up the whole Whitley household of faith. Lord, extending beyond that to brothers and the extended family, Lord, but particularly lift up Lisa and the children. We thank you so much, Lord, for their steadfastness throughout the whole challenge of the last 14 months or so. But Lord, we acknowledge that this is just a dark period. pits sometimes, Lord. And I love and we appreciate the joy in which Simon left instructions to have a celebration of his life to the end. That's Simon, Lord. And I pray we'll be able to do that, Lord, and honor you and honor him and the Whitley family and household. But might it be, Lord, just as you promised, we need now, Lord, you to incarnate, to get in that household and just to bring your incredible and unusual sense of peace. And for the Rugby Ealing Church, that's itself been through so much over the last 4 or 5 years. Might you just, Lord, might they know today you're still on the throne. Might they know you're still in charge. And Lord, I pray that there'll be an unusual sense of your comfort. Might lives be changed as we wake up each day, as we look at those we love and know. Might it temper our attitudes, Lord, to really appreciate the very breath you've given us for each day. That everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Like, even as we breathe, we worship you, Lord. So I pray, Lord God, that you'd help me, you'd help us to keep short accounts. You'd help us to know what really, 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 really matters. Give me perspective, please, Holy Spirit. But Lord, we pray for that whole household of faith, the broader church family, all affected. That you'd have your way. For those amongst us who are sad, those who are struggling, be it with physical or mental health, would you come now and declare your rest and your peace over us for your glory in Jesus' name. Do pray for Tom and Jenny as well. Tom and Jenny Owen. Tom got a call. He had to go to Sheffield. He was here this morning. Had to go to Sheffield. Seth's in hospital. Little one, that's Sarah and Tim's oldest little boy. I think it's okay, but Tom's had to go up there because parents get anxious. Grandparents get anxious. We know that, don't we, Leslie? So it's important. I'm just going to read to you, if you could turn with me to the book of Exodus. We're at the very end, and you'd really expect, I don't know, at the end of a very practical section where God is saying, this is how you are to live, you'd expect a really good, I don't know, right hook. This is the project then, come on. But actually it's very different to that, and I really like, this is the last practical part of the what you'd call the covenant section after the Ten Commandments, and then it goes into the tabernacle. Let's just see what Moses writes, and this is what the Lord's word are to his people who are busy, who are dysfunctional, who are anxious, I don't know if that's you this morning, who are stressed. For 6 years you are to sow your fields, verse 10, chapter 23. 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed. Chill out. Unused. Stop working. Stop doing it. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyard. Stop being picky and do it with your olive grove as well. Yes, everything that matters to you. 6 days, verse 12, do your work. But on the seventh day, do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you might be refreshed. Be careful to do everything, everything I have said to you, says the Lord. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Don't let them be heard even on your lips. Lord, bless your word to us. In Jesus' name. I love God's word. You'd expect that. But I really love the relevance of it. And we're looking at this whole series of Exodus. What does it mean to be a believer? I've stopped using the word Christian now. Can I say why? Because it's lost its meaning. So if I tell you that in a national survey, 57% considered themselves to be Christians in a national survey of 5,000, you can see it's lost its meaning, because around about 8% would be in attendance at a church that loves Jesus and etc. So words can lose their meaning. So I tend to use the word Christ follower. I think that is much more distinctive. And so if someone says to me, so, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, says, oh great, how long have you been a Christ follower? Oh, because that's quite, isn't it? It can really pull you up a little bit, really. And so we've been looking at this whole series as a model, if you want, for how God wants to not only save us, but how he wants us to follow him in every detail of our life. So you could call it being saved to follow. Being saved to follow. We've been saved for a purpose. Isn't it great that this isn't the purpose? That I love being here, but this is not the end goal. It's in everything. And we've said recently over the times together that there comes a time when the word of God on the platform or on the mountain in Moses' case has to come down from the platform and it has to take root in our hearts, in our homes, in every single aspect of our lives. And that's the sort of faith that attracted me at 16 years old. I saw that in my uncle and I wanted whatever he had. I didn't want the church thing. That seemed a bit odd to me. But then I realized I needed to love and be amongst others who also wanted to try and follow Jesus. And so I started going to church. But actually we're saved. Exodus tells us the whole big story of Exodus. He brings us out of Egypt and doesn't just leave us on the shore of the Red Sea, because that's what would happen if we were just saved. He brings us to follow him. Brings us to that mountain where we can really understand what his word says to us and then be obedient. Be careful to obey everything. In every situation. And we've seen some really strange ones that might not be so relevant to you. You know, if your ox mauls your neighbor. I don't know if that's happened to you recently. Yeah, like I said the other week, I was just thinking how strange that would be. But, you know, if you happen to punch a virgin or something, or you know, a pregnant woman. And I mean, these are God's people he's talking to. I mean, this is a very strange thing, isn't it? And what we've said over recent weeks is that God's people, we're in a dysfunctional world and we're called to shine for him as people who have got a new king, a new master. And so remember what we said, we quoted Paul from Philippians, probably one of my favorite books. And he says in chapter 2, do everything in 14. This is to God's people. He's writing from prison. So we can't say it's okay for you. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's what Paul says in from prison. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Isn't that fair to say with the London Bridge and the London stabbings and the bombings and all the ugliness in the world that we live in a warped and crooked generation? They will shine amongst them like stars in the sky. How will we do that? As you hold firmly to the word of life. It's not about being nice as Christians all the time without God's word. It's applying what we know, and the Spirit applying and changing me. Because if his word doesn't change me, they might just like Keith, and that would be tragedy. I want them to see the Spirit of Jesus in me. And so we've said that as God's people, we can grasp the opportunity to live a different way in a world. And so, can I say today is never more so than this whole area of rest. Who here would like a rest? Month off work. Isn't it? Do you know, remember that the old ads, there were other good chocolate bars as well. Remember this one? A Mars a day helps you. Work, rest, and play. Now, I'm not sure if a chocolate Mars bar helps you work, rest, and play. It was certainly something that was memorable, and I quite like them, especially if you put them in the freezer. You just break your teeth on them, that's all. But it's really interesting. I think we're out of control when it comes to this whole thing of rest. And I'm talking church as well. Who finds Sunday the busiest day in your life? That's crazy. Yeah, Holly, it's great. What's going on? This whole thing of rest. And there was a headline on the BBC website today. In the middle of the week. And it says that the UK, this was the headline, has the worst form of capitalism. Did anyone see that headline? UK as worst form of capitalism. Let me explain. It was saying basically the UK has been assessed, all the businesses and the top companies, as having profitability only as its goal, at the expense of lots of other things. And that's not every company. You may run an ethical company, but largely it was saying that the UK has this insatiable appetite to just gain. People are constantly on this treadmill. And I think this last section of the practical section of the covenant, before the angel of the Lord goes before them, this last section, it finishes not on some kind of great project. It doesn't finish on some great project, but it reminds the people of the importance of rest. Who here is good at rest? Are you too good at it, are you? I mean, some people are too good at it, aren't they? I mean, it's this balance, isn't it? I'm only kidding. You're good at rest. I like that. I'm jealous. But you see, we see here, just really briefly today, that there are kind of three little areas that we see in those verses from verse 10 to 13 in Exodus 23. There's three reasons why rest, as ordained by God himself, are important to us, is important to us. And so, we see in verse 10 and 11, we saw it there. For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. See, the first reason is rest is good for the greater good. For the bigger picture of, it's not about us. It's not about me, myself, and we'll get to that, but it's not about me, myself, and I. And so what you see in those verses in 10 and 11 is rest is good for the greater good. We could capture it by talking about caring for the planet and caring for the poor. There are organizations that are trying to do this. I'm not too sure about the ways they do it, if I'm honest with you. But we need the attention's being. They've got our attention as far as what are we doing to our planet. I was speaking to someone before the service who was involved in planting trees in the city project. That's great. And there's been various views amongst Christians down the years as far as what attitude should we have towards caring for the greater good? Outside of ourselves. Why does rest care for the greater good? Now, there used to be a view that basically said, don't worry about the planet because it's all going to burn up anyway. Seriously, you know, then there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, Revelation 21. And there was this kind of like, oh, it doesn't matter because Jesus is going to come back, and so you just trash what you've got. Seriously, amongst Christian circles, not everybody. And I think we see here in God's edict, these are the words of the Lord. He says that you need to have a bigger picture about rest. Rest is good for the wider fields. It's good for the other people, the planet and the poor. We see it here. Our care, and honestly, our care for the planet and worse off, reflects God's heart. Quite simply, that's what it does. It's not about reflecting our own eco-warrior inside us. It's about reflecting the very heart of God, who says, you need to care for the field. You need to care for the greater good. And then it means that the less well-off as well get the benefit as well. Everybody's starting to win. And as a group of God's people, when I care for the planet, and I'm not a tree hugger, whatever you want to say, but I honestly think as we care for the planet and as we care for those less well off, we reflect the very heart of God himself. I'm amazed at how many people just leave the rubbish or whatever. I'm not on a thing this morning, but there's so many things we can do. Micah 6 verse 8 says, the Lord has shown you, all mortal, he reminds us that we're mortal, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's really interesting. You know, Jesus was talking about the Sabbath as well in Mark 2. He said the Sabbath wasn't made for people. The Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. This is for the good of you and the land. This is for the good of my creation. God has inserted rest. If you notice when we did the Ten Commandments, that it honor the Sabbath. Now, if it's a commandment, it means we don't naturally do it. We don't have to be commanded to do things that we naturally do. So God commands us to rest because we will not naturally, with our driven minds, our driven society, we will not naturally rest. It's true. How many people here are exhausted? Be honest. Get tired, really drained. There's a few hands. I think there's much more than that. Thank you. Much more. This treadmill, I've got to do better than the next student. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do that. I'm preparing my next sermon. I'm doing this. I've got to be busy in church. No, God says, hang on. Hang on. I have developed you. You are going to operate much better with my rest. The Hebrews writer says, doesn't he? Enter that rest. And he links it with obedience to God's word. Those who didn't enter the rest, says the Hebrews writer in chapter 4, are those who are disobedient in the desert. As we are obedient to the word of God, we enter his rest, which includes rest. Be careful to obey me, verse 13, in all of these areas. And the problem we've got in the capitalist, especially the UK one apparently, is rest seems counterproductive. Who gets agitated when people are resting around them? Anybody? Yeah? Come on, you lot. Quick. But you see, rest here, it's about a natural rhythm. Did you see the rhythms in the text? Look, we saw it. So it says there, for 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crop, but during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed. And then it says, 6 days, verse 12, do your work, but on the seventh day, do not do your work. Now, every seven cycles of this was the year of Jubilee. Debts cancelled, etc. And so we see there's a rhythm here. Our God is a God of rhythm and of spiritual rhythm. One of the great benefits, if you lived amongst the time of the Celts, was that they had spiritual disciplines. Now, spiritual disciplines are prayer, being in the presence of God, practicing the presence of God, walking, just trying to hear God's voice. How many of us don't have a rhythm of being into God's word? How many of us don't have a rhythm of prayer? It's not about a legalism at whatever it might be. This is about having a rhythm. Because machines and people run better when they're well oiled with prayer and with the word of God. As we have a rhythm in life. And I think if one of the great things I speak to people about when they're out of shape is I often ask about their rhythms. Access to God's word, prayer. And it doesn't take very long, often, not always, life happens, to see rhythms have been interrupted. It just got busy. Things just happen, you know. I've got this happening. And so we see this rest in this text speaks of a necessary. God is saying, I need you to have a rhythm of resting in me. I've just given you all these practical helps about being my covenant people, how to be with your slaves and masters and all sorts of neighbors and things like this. But the big thing you need to do, if you're going to be effective in everything that's gone before, you've got to learn to rest. You've got to learn to rest. And I think in a world that is saying, quick, 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 quick. Maybe you're driven, your personality type might be a driven person, and that's good for lots of things. But we see here the rhythm of rest. It reflects God's nature. Do we see it from the beginning? God creates, he's busy. He then rests. And then reflects and saw that it was good. We create, could do it the other way around. We create, we reflect, we rest. We create, we reflect, we rest. God, Genesis, beautiful. Now here we are in Exodus. You need to rest. 6 years on the seventh year, 6 days on the seventh day. Beautiful. Oh Lord, I want to. Really just help me see that rhythm. And here, even in the text for the greater good, he even allows the ground to rest. The ground, the living planet. It's amazing documentaries on that. And this is for the greater peace, or God's people of old would call it the greater shalom. Do you know, often in modern day Judaism, they've reduced shalom to a high. But it's much more. Shalom is peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. Oh. So if I want to pray a shalom over you, a shalom over you, a shalom over you, I'm praying a tranquility, a peace, a completeness, a wholeness. Jeremiah 29, speaking to people in Babylon, in this godless city, says, seek the shalom of the city as God's people. Jeremiah 29:7, seek the shalom. I've got a question for me first, always, but to all of us. To what extent do we individually bring shalom to the places where God has put us? Does the temperature in the staff room go up when we enter it? Does the temperature of the conversation go up when we enter it? Or do we bring a shalom? A shalom. Oh, wow. That sense of, and it's so rare and so craved. And this extends, not only God says, I want you to rest for the greater good, you need to self-care. Who here is good at self-care? Can I hazard a guess here? If you're a carer, caring personality, you look after the world, everyone comes to you, self-care is a big deal. It might even be a big issue for you. This is often the case with caring roles, pastors, chaplains, all sorts of people. Caring professionals in society, those who look after groups of people, they struggle, not always, but often, to self-care. And God says you need a self-care. So we see in 12, 6 days do your work. It's not just a field having a rest. But on the seventh day, do not work. Don't work. Chill out. Come on. Care. We're going to be more productive by resting. It sounds so counterintuitive. It's so against what we feel. It can be so difficult. Who here is task or project driven? Whoa. Bless you. I'm a little bit like that. There's a tension between task and people, and that we have to constantly keep looking at that. And I wonder who finds self-care tough here. Has anyone could be honest enough to find, who here finds self-care tough? Feel a bit guilty just looking after yourself. Josh, brilliant, thank you. Anyone else? I think there's a lot of people. Be my friend, I really do. I visit people and, you know, I'll pray with you. So much so, when someone comes up to me and says, Keith, can I pray with you? I get quite emotional. Because I'm, I need that, don't I? I need prayer. I'm frail. Oh, mortal. Often say it, the old oxygen mask again. Like on the plane, put your own on first before you help anybody else. Self-care. This rhythm. God's so wise at the end of this hectic section. Do, rest. 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 Chill out. And do you know, when I just walk about, I just tend to look back and see a bigger picture. Remember Daniel? What a guy. Whatever the external and internal pressures, because a lot of it is internal pressures as well, with our mental health and a lot of it external or internal pressures. In a time of great upheaval, just listen to the rhythm of this. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, worshipping the statue, He went home to his upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, Daniel got down on his knee and prayed, giving thanks to God, as was his custom. He's in the rhythm, as was his custom. Beautiful rhythm of being able to, everything before the Lord, every day, everything. I honestly would say, in my imperfect attempts, I ask the Spirit to help me insert spiritual rhythms into my day and life. And I honestly think they inoculate us against the world. Next couple of weeks, on the 15th, we're going to announce the opening of the prayer room. There's been an awful lot of people being very busy decorating, and we're grateful to Liz and the team for doing that. And I'm sure there's more help needed, so please see Liz and the team. It's another opportunity for a spiritual rhythm. Maybe you need a place. You don't need a place, but maybe you need a place you can come to. Daniel had his little toward Jerusalem. And sometimes when life is so hard and we're in captivity to everything that else is going, everything around us seems to be dictating our day, all we can do, like Daniel, is sometimes just glance out towards Jerusalem, the place we long for, and just say, Lord, I'm still going to come before you. However we're feeling right now, God says, don't lose sight of glancing toward my name, that city that bears my name. Daniel just looked and prayed in that rhythm of life, and people saw that he was the King of Kings. If the ground needs rest, what about me? Finally, it's a good word, isn't it? We need to give rest to those under our care as well. You know, I sometimes see these programs on TV where the parents are so driven that they almost are so frustrated that there may be some achievements they didn't make. They're trying to live their lives through their children. Have you seen those sort of documentaries? It's where the children can't grow up. They can't be kids, should I say. They're not allowed to be children. They project this, come on. And we see in 12 that the care for others is important. 6 days do your work, on the seventh do not work, so that your ox and donkey may rest, and also so your slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. See how great rest is? Isn't it great? You care for the planet, you care for yourself, you care for those around you. It's just, rest is good for everybody. Isn't it great? You look like you feel better just listening. Have I got that right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But don't imagine it's a place you can't get to. The Lord is saying, come on, rest. It's where you are. See, driven people can be very, very demanding. I know this. They can project their demands onto others. This is really hard. But it starts with self-care, flowing out to others. You see, honestly, if I'm in a better place with the King, I'm probably easier myself to deal with. And my views and my responses to people might be much more measured. If I've been in the presence of the King, my responses are going to be measured. But can I just bring this down and say, this is not about becoming some great group of eco-warriors for the sake of it. Planet lovers for the sake of it, as great as that work is. Or carers for the sake of simply being nice. But this is ultimately, why should we rest that impacts everyone around us, even the planet and ourselves? Why is that important? Because we're doing it out of obedience to God. He commands us to do it. The God who called us, who saved us to follow him, has saved us to follow him in this whole area of rest too. Who hates being off work? Believe it or not, there are people. Lou, you hate being off work. Thank you. Ben, you hate being off work. Love it. It feels like there's stuff to do. And God says, come on. This whole area. Look what in 13, it's out of obedience to God. Be careful to do everything, says the Lord, I have said to you about rest. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. It's not about Mother Earth. It's not about all these other things. Why are you doing the planet stuff? It's because you've been obedient to the God who made the world and everything in it, who loves you and knows you work better when you rest. Obey me. And when you obey me, I know you love me. It's lovely, isn't it? Do you think the manufacturer knows how we work better? Think he does? Honoring the Lord who loves us and calls each of us into relationship with him. Model what this means as neighbors and fathers and mothers and employees, and because our rest, whatever our motive actually, should always point to him. Be careful to obey everything I have told you. Because you see, the ultimate rest, I don't know where you are today, we're going to move to a time of communion, which has bought our ultimate rest, is only in Jesus, who's gone to the cross, and he says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you another project to do. I'll give you another job. You'll be on another rota. You come to me. Now come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Isn't it lovely? Oh Lord, I want your shalom in my heart. I want your shalom. I just want to pray peace into our situations. I want to pray peace into this church. Peace into your families. Peace into your workplace. Peace into your heart. Stop striving. The Lord is in this. And he wants to give us. Shall we just close our eyes? Enjoy the silence. Holy Spirit, I pray your shalom over these hearts. I pray your shalom over the Whitley household. I pray your shalom over those with mental health, with physical pain. I pray shalom over marriages that are breaking. I pray your shalom over my self-dissatisfaction at who I am. I pray shalom, Lord, over my struggle to see myself as a child of the King. Pray shalom, Lord, over who you are, the loving Father who seeks the one. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest for your glory. In Jesus' name. Don't strive. The Lord knows. He's not surprised by anything you have. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to rest around the communion table. Jesus has bought your rest. Isn't that great? So we don't have to strive. Don't have to. Rest in him. Just rest in him. This song, is it Be Still? Rachel, is it? Which one is it? Be Still. What a beautiful song. Let's stay in the mood. Maybe a gentle play. Be Still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. He comes to cleanse, to heal, to minister his grace, that undeserved favor and love. Come tonight as well to be ministered to. What time does it start, Rachel? 6:30 here. It would be great to encourage the team who've put so much work into it to be in your presence. I like Be Still as well. To be in your presence. Wow, I love that song. To sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me. Imagine that, your shalom. I want to imagine the shalom of God now surrounding us. And look out for one another in this time. Does someone need prayer? Maybe you're uncertain about the rhythms of prayer. Come and talk to us. We'd love to do that, and then we'll gather around here. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.